today during work, I went back and I listened to an array of your Path of Exile 1 review videos from way back in July of 2012. Been a while. 14 years, dude. So now that we're in the early access, basically the beta period for Path of Exile 2, mm-hmm. are you seeing any similarities or differences here with how Grinding Gear Games is handling the game so far, or just the game itself?
It is pretty difficult to kind of see it in a light, because I think back then there was just such like a crude level to many aspects of the game. There's certainly a lot of similarities in terms of how it feels, in terms of a little bit of the rough edges of things. In a way, it is still the same. You know, you're still controlling a character, you're still grinding the gear, and now that, you know, they've been on the holiday vacation for a while, the clear speed meta is rolling in unchecked from nerfs for a while anyway. It was kind of like that back then for a little bit. There were a few escape builds. I remember back then there were a few CI builds that could go a little bit faster, and the big thing was Spork Totem.
Oh, yes.
And it was just like eclipsing everything in terms of clear speed. I think still the current version of the game is still a lot faster. It's still a little bit more polished. I don't know. Of course, there's going to be similarities, but I do feel there were quite a lot of differences from the... what are we calling it? Is it now closed beta? Is that the version of the game now?
Technically, it's the closed beta, right? You know, it was going to mm-hmm. be a beta, and then they changed it to early access. So, but everyone's calling it a beta, so I think that's what it is. It's essentially the closed beta, so the 2011 PoE.
Well, I think it kind of shows how much they have evolved as like a company. It kind of shows where it's gone. It's still the same old game. I think if someone from 2012 played PoE 2 immediately, they would still find it familiar.
I think definitely. Now, back then, it was funny watching your two big critiques for Path of Exile 1. Do you by chance remember what they were in that very first video when you had gone from D3 to PoE1 and you were like, these are two things I think GGG could really address quickly. They're the two big problems I see with the game.
The two big problems with PoE1 in a video I made 12 years ago.
Yes.
This is a big ask here. I actually don't remember. I think energy shield and like CI and stuff was kind of dumb back then. And I don't know if I was already complaining about desync in like the first playthrough. I may have been. So if I'm going purely off what I remember being the major issues, I don't know if I identify them in my first video though, but yeah.
No, you were all love for the game in your first video, Crip. Your two big issues were mm-hmm. currency not going to your stash easily and not stacking, and the opacity of the map overlay.
The opacity of the map overlay.
It was bad, dude. If you turned on the map overlay, you could not see your screen, man.
I don't remember that.
It was bad. Oh my gosh, dude.
Generally speaking, I don't really use the map like overlay. I usually just use like the corner thing.
Yep.
But now that you mention it, it was something I always used in like D2 and probably attempted to use in the other games as well. Maybe it's actually the reason why I kind of stopped using the map overlay if it was that bad.
Yeah, and it's because they had all the details on the map mm-hmm. overlay too, so it was very difficult to have any sort of clarity in the game. Yeah, so I thought that was pretty funny watching that. They fixed that pretty easily. I only started playing Path of Exile 1 in 2019, so all those concerns were long gone by the time I started playing, but it's so funny to see how it has changed so drastically from then to now.
It was a pretty polished, full-on game. Did you even experience the /OOS spamming macro?
Nope, that's all from footage that I watched of some of the OG Path of Exile players like yourself. That looked really rough, man.
Yeah, it really was like that and kind of the lack of content updates that actually had me like wind out of the game after playing it for like a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, shortly after that, like shortly meaning maybe like a year after that, they actually did start ramping up content once again. So I started doing a lot of the leagues at that point.
Yeah. And
I'm
kind of
stopped. Maybe I skipped one or two. I skipped Legion. I think that was really a pretty good league in terms of most people's eyes anyway.
Yeah, that's the league where Cyclone was first uber powerful, right? With the Slayer, the massive radius on it and everything.
I actually don't know.
I'm a little curious, Crip, because we've seen you right now in PoE 2. Have you only played the Infernalist minion build?
Well, I've tried to make whatever I can out of the Infernalist. I kind of went into PoE 2 with like, well, I'm probably going to play this game a lot, so I need to play a build that's just not too heavy on pressing buttons. So we're just going minions. Most likely minions suck, because like 2 days before the game was to be played, it was like, yeah, so about those specters, you're not getting them. Right? So that was a little rough. And I basically expected that minions would just kind of be jank, like pretty much unplayable jank at that point. But I mean, they actually seem pretty good, at least most of them. They definitely have their kinks, but as you know, as we played more and more, kind of solved a lot of that. I have tried other minion builds. I have tried just other minions. But ultimately, the spam Infernalist build with SRS and the Wall of Fire, I basically had that as a build guide like the day before the game came out. That's just going off of like the data mine stuff. I never really imagined it would be like that popular. Like, I don't know, it's a little excessive in how popular that was, even.
Oh,
I
yeah
would say.
Yeah.
So I've tried a few other versions of the build. Like right now I'm still using the Infernalists, but I'm using like the sniper cooldown is actually really insane damage, so it's kind of like a hybrid build, and I'm pretty happy with that. But yeah, I guess it's still Infernalist. I guess it's still minions. I guess that's still the main character that I'm still playing. So,
are you really drawn to minions in ARPGs? Because I know you've been doing lots of, or the last time I watched some of your build videos for PoE 1, lots of Absolution videos in Diablo 4. You're trying to make Minion Mancer work there. Are you just really drawn to that archetype?
It's just one of those things where a lot of the time I just have a good time playing with minions. Like, it's just kind of fun to play them. I'm not like a minion absolutist, as I know some people are, but I find it fun. There's been a lot of leagues where I play something that's not minions, and then I have a bad time, and then I reroll to something that is minions, and then I have a good time. Even if the build was, you know, by all measures otherwise quite successful. Like in one league I played, PoE 1 that is, I played a build where I basically just convert the ice crash damage into fire, and I do Giga Ignites, and you use the Story of the Vol sword, which has some really cool synergies, and you can basically perma-freeze even bosses while you get like 20 million ignites. And like, I play that character for a few days, and it's like a totally insane character, and then I just wasn't feeling it. So yeah, I just like riddled minions and actually played a lot more, even though I think if people compare the characters, they would find that the minion character was definitely weaker in pretty much every single aspect. It's just like more fun to play. And having played so many leagues, having played so many games now, I mean, the ARPG scene is busy. I just find myself that, I'm a minion enjoyer. So I certainly factor that in when I'm about to do something. I mean, the last PoE 1 league, I played Bleed Gladiator. So that was fun too.
Oh yeah.
I'm not a minion absolutist.
Okay.
No, not fully anyway.
Not yet. We'll see once the specters come into the game, right?
Yeah.
Which monster do you think would make one of the coolest specter builds out of the, you know, hundreds that we've seen so far in early access? Any stick out to you?
It's just so hard to say. Yes, there's one that sticks out to me, but you never really have like a grasp on minion viability. Because I imagine they're going to work kind of like they do in Path of Exile 1, where there's like the monster version, and then there's a specter version that has like a life and damage multiplier that are often in line with another, but sometimes not at all in line with another. If you guys are aware, they've actually done a lot of reworks in the monsters, especially in the first few acts. They started with like Act 1, Act 2 monsters in the last few patches in PoE 1.
Yeah.
So when they did that, they introduced a few new monsters as well, and Act 2 has some like elemental hit bow vol skeletons, like out of control busted. So I'm like, oh my god, why hasn't anyone used these specters? And I go on PoEDB, and they have like 60% of life and damage multipliers. And this is in a world where some minions have like 700% of life or damage multipliers. Right. So they basically just made a really overpowered minion, or a really overpowered monster, and they stuck a multiplier on it that made it completely unusable as a specter. So I am expecting a lot of that. But in terms of mechanics, the coolest minion that I think will probably see some play, there's like this like really, really fat dude that has like giga HP.
Oh yeah.
And then when it dies, it has like a delayed corpse explosion. And I've noticed that explosion does more damage in like higher HP maps. So I think it's like a self corpse explosion. So that would mean that those would scale off of both health and damage modifiers for minions. And with the using your minions as corpses buff thing, I don't know what it's called. Are they called buffs? I think they're called buffs. Basically, with that, you can kill any minion you want at will in PoE 2. So that should be something that can be used, hopefully. I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I thought of that one, and then the guy in Act 1, the graveyard area that has the giant club or hammer that does a big wind-out and then slams down in a massive AoE. I feel like that would do some busted damage. It's just a matter of scaling the attack speed. If it has the same wind-up animation time as like a mace, maybe not, but if you can speed it up, it'd be pretty strong.
Yeah, it's just really tough because you never really know what kind of numbers they'll put on these. I think typically from PoE 1, the minions that do notably well are the projectile minions, because you can use like all the projectile gems, and particularly the attack ones because they just have more gems. And in PoE 2, they have like way more gems, like the attack spells versus the attack gems, the support gems versus the spell support gems. It's it's like twice as many. So I don't know if that'll change as they add stuff, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Do we know even when they will add stuff? Is that a thing?
I did ask Jonathan, tried to get an answer out. He seemed to say between 2 and 3 months from launch. So February or March. I'd go on the later end, though. I think the first big patch will be March when they add a substantial amount. They already added a few support gems in one of the earlier patches. Like I think Tremor support was added to the game. But I think it's going to be maybe a druid or huntress along with some other content in March. We'll have to see, though. Because I think that all depends on the cadence and what they want to do with a lot of the feedback that people have been giving. Obviously, there's been a lot of review videos coming out over the past few weeks. Your Ruthless review came out, I think, like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, after you spent a good chunk of time playing the game, 14 hours a day for the first few days of the release.
I remember watching for a week. Intended to play for a week, so then we took a vacation to Costa Rica, and then when he came back, now I'm playing for another week.
Hey, that's good.
Trying to pace myself a little bit.
Yeah, smart. You recharged in the sun. Your review spoke to me, man, because you were talking to me, essentially. I was the guy who was loving every ounce of the game, essentially. Still in, I think when I watched your review, I think I was in Act 3, and I was loving the game. And when I got to endgame crit, everything started kind of coming together from what you said about the game. You know, the whole, hey, I'm telling you what you're going to find out in 2 weeks or a month. And I was like, damn it. He's so right.
Are you not playing 13 hours a day?
No! I was just talking with chat. I think I have, across all my characters, 90 hours, and I've only played like 6 hours in the past week because Christmas and my kids and work and everything. Yeah, so I don't have all that time in, but as soon as I hit endgame, I was like, oh my gosh, Crip literally called this. Oh my, I see what's going on here. And then other things, I have a little bit of disagreement on, but I kind of wanted to give you a chance to further speak on some of those initial thoughts you had back then about comparing it to Ruthless, now that you've played another week, specifically at the end game with your Infernalist. Have any of your thoughts changed at all, maybe regarding the gem system, the dodge roll, how end game is currently paced, or is it still the same?
Well, at the time I made that video, I was on a life-based character, and I was getting armor, and I didn't quite grasp just how garbage armor was. When you give up armor and give up life in the game, of course, or energy shield, just like nothing one-shots you. Like I think yesterday I got one-shotted with 10,000 energy shield, and it was the first time I've actually been clean one-shotted since I've gone energy shield. But like, you know, if you're getting one-shotted with 10,000 energy shield, there's nothing else that you can do. Like there's, you know, it's a dire situation for the life users. It was like the engineer boss, people said it was like overtuned and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But other than that, I think a lot of the disagreements that people had kind of come from the skew between like Solo Selfound and Trade League, which is like enormous. Like I think people don't really factor in just how like absurd that difference is. I don't know if I've played a game where playing by yourself versus trading has that much of an impact as it does in POE2. I can elaborate on that. It's like, but
yeah, it's a shocking difference. Go for it.
So I've mentioned on stream a little bit, so I'm repeating myself for some people, but the gist of it is, in POE1, people are like, yeah, you can craft your gear, and crafting is cool and all that, and there's advantages and disadvantages to crafting for the mass appeal of players and all that, sure. But what all the different crafting things do in POE1, they basically allow you to focus on obtaining gear for what you are playing. So, for example, if you find, like, a weapon that could, with a Veil Orb, get a bunch of damage, that's what you use the Veil Orb on, right? So it has, like, a massive skew towards what you're playing. So when you're playing Solo Selfound in POE1, yeah, it's still way more rough than than Trade League in POE1, but you're going to get really good characters. Like, we've seen Solo Selfound characters that basically have pretty close to best in slot, or in some cases, people that play the entire league, they literally have, like, best in slot and everything. And we have people who did like Solo Selfound unique finding challenges and stuff like that. It's a little bit more approachable. In POE2, there is crafting, but crafting is basically just making stuff rare or just adjusting something slightly. And it's not even really necessarily for your class, like the Chaos Orbs. And like, let's be real, I've used like 30 Chaos Orbs, maybe 35. Like this, they don't drop that much, right?
No, not at all.
So in POE2, there's like, let's say there's like 50 builds that people are playing. So whenever you bonk the mob, the mob drops loot, you are basically gearing out 50 characters at the same time. And it might not be the one that you're playing, and if it's not, then you sell the item, but that item is in the marketplace now. So the way that you have to kind of see it is POE2 has like a 50 times loot multiplier in Trade League, which is like completely out of control. Like if you play Solo Selfound, you will understand this if you've played Trade League. And if you do the opposite, it's like I found a ghost rift on like day 10 of playing, and I just completely redid my character. Ghost rift in Trade League is worth one exalt, so like you go halfway through Act 1, you just buy one, right? Like that's what we're talking about. And the reason this works is there's people that are just, you know, grinding magic find, and they're finding like a couple a day, but then there's like thousands of those people. So the supply demand is off to where they're just basically worthless. And in my review, I mentioned like with level 20 gems that you could trade them and it like ruins progression. There in solo Cellfound, there is gem progression. Like as you are climbing the ranks of maps, like if I could trade, I would pretty much have a permanent like plus two skills, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I could trade, I'd just trade for a tier 15 map. Because, you know, in the maps, the monsters do more damage, but they don't actually have that much more health. So if you can clear a tier 1 map, you can probably clear a tier 15 map. You just have to, like, not get hit. Or play Energy Shield.
Yep.
So the skew between trade and SSF is so massive that you have people in trade who literally bought a Ghost Rift for one Exalt the moment they hit maps. And they're like, what are you talking about, Crip? There's no one-shot problem. And you're right, there is no one-shot problem if you're playing Ghost Rift with 10,000 Energy Shield. That's true. You're not getting one-shotted by anything. But if you take away the trade and you actually have like the gear progression and the gem progression and the character progression, these issues are a lot more vivid. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people who played Path of Exile 2 for the first time, especially those that hadn't even played Path of Exile 1, they did play Trade League because solo Cellfound is like, it's like, oh, I don't know about that. I might want to play with my friends. Or it's like, right. What do you mean I can't trade? Trading is good, you know, Diablo Andes type of thing. So, yeah, I think a lot of the disagreements come from that. And I don't think that has really been talked about. I was thinking of making a video, but I don't know. I don't know how much of it would be seen as an opinion. I don't think it's that much of an opinion. I think that's just how it is. But, yeah, I don't know. On the other hand, I haven't actually played Trade League. I've just kind of seen how people play it. But, like, I don't know. Like, I was watching Gazzy play with, like, because he's playing a minion build, and he always has his own version of doing things. Like, day two, he had an amulet with plus two minion skills, like 40 spirit resists and, like, I don't know, mana or life or something. And, like I've been playing for, like, 14 days, like, probably 10 hours a day at least, and I haven't even seen an amulet with plus two minion skills.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gambling amulets. Like, I'm getting hundreds of amulets every day that I play. I haven't even seen that stat on anything, let alone on a good amulet, let alone with, like, five other good stats. But in Trade League, yeah, you find, like, a dozen Exalts after playing for a few hours, and then someone finds an amulet who's playing a Titan. So for them, it's worth nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I think this is why I had my eyes open, because I'm not in SSF, but I traded for the first time 2 days ago. I was basically playing SSF before, so I was trying to get that authentic progression, go through the gear systems, progress myself, and that's why I was seeing exactly what you pointed out in your video. And I think you're right that a lot of people are trying to engage with trade, are engaging with trade, and especially early on, I think it was a lot easier to. I'm not sure. I'm sure you're aware of what's happening now with the markets being a little effed up and Magic Find kind of affecting things and all that. Do you have any thoughts on the whole Magic Find increased item rarity debacle at all, or nah?
Well, the funny thing is that I think rarity is working just fine for solo Cellfound. So they're kind of trying to, like, you know, they have two very different games, like the solo Cellfound and Trade experience.
Yep.
Like, I put some more rarity on my character, I sacrifice character power, and I'm getting slightly more drops. I mean, that's very much kind of how it worked in Diablo 2. And, you know, a lot of the core concepts for Path of Exile as a whole are from there. Like, in Diablo 2, you'd see endgame characters with, like, a topaz socketed in the helmet. You know, it's like best-in-slot gear otherwise, but they're, like, just not willing to give up a little bit of magic fight. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much what we're seeing in this game. I don't think it's inherently bad. I think more of a problem is the whole breach thing. But I haven't really experienced that full on myself. So I don't know, right? I'm not 100% on that one.
Right. The entire goal of not needing a loot filter in PoE2 was completely wiped away when I did my first breach in maps.
Okay.
I felt like I needed one instantly. I'm not sure. Are you using one at all? Like Neversync or?
Yeah. The moment Neversync updated his filters, right, I just started using it. So
Yeah, I was getting blasted with gear just on a basic breach with, I think, on a magic map. It was crazy. I can only imagine what it looks like in a, you know, T18 map with a few magic find things. It probably looks pretty darn similar to Path of Exile 1 at that point, I'd say.
Yes, I would imagine so.
I think that you're really right about there being just two entirely different game modes. I know in Path of Exile 1, during the latter years, maybe this wasn't true when I wasn't playing, they did balance for softcore trade league. Is that what they were going for a lot of the time? Or were they thinking with the solo self-found mindset? Because what you just said there does make sense, where they kind of balance magic find around single player, wanting to get more drops, adding a few pieces to their gear at a sacrifice of power, and then getting exactly that. Some more currency, some more waystones, and like, I just learned on stream, I need a good chunk of magic find to sustain T10 waystones. Oh, mm-hmm. Rip. I lost all my waystones. I was at T14's crypt, and now I'm back to T7's.
Well, I vendor my waystones because they vendor for like 3,000 gold each at T15. So I have an entire giant stash tab of waystones I don't plan on running anymore. It's like, and they're tier 10 to 14. So if I need gold, I just click a bunch of those and vendor them. That's, yep.
Are you fully spec'd in on your Atlas for waystones, yes. Or were you?
It's just that, like, if you're doing bosses with, like, the +4 and on difficult maps on, yeah, like, T15s, they just drop, like, 4 T15s or close to it each time you do one.
Right.
So yes. I actually think the system of map scarcity is kind of a bit of a fail, and that's kind of a bit of a tough one, because it looks like they really wanted the waystones to be scarce, mm-hmm. but the fact that juiced out bosses on the high end just drop way too many and you can just chain them endlessly, it's just kind of a problem.
What big changes do you think they'll make to endgame? At this point, do you think there's anything that's that clearly needs to change? Like, I don't know, have you fought the pinnacle yet, or are you still trying to find a citadel or two?
So I'm level 93 and some change.
Okay.
I have found one citadel.
Oh, crit, no.
And it was the one where you like have to like go in the bubble to avoid the sandstorm.
Yep.
The NPC that spawns the bubble spawned outside the arena. So I saw this, I didn't die, I'm like, okay, this is not good. So then I quit, so then I went back to the map, but then the boss was stuck in that phase. So he was in the sandstorm phase forever. And I didn't kill it, I just lost some experience attempting to survive the sandstorm, which obviously is not possible. And that was my one citadel after like hundreds of hours of game time and level 93.
Yeah, that's rough. Is that something that kind of puzzles you and makes you wonder why it's not similar to the current method of Path of Exile 1's first pinnacle boss with the Eater, Exarch, slowly progressing there deterministically? Is that, you think this is very intentional from them wanting to get away from that? Or maybe it's just, hey, we're just throwing it out there, we're testing it. We'll swap to the deterministic system after we get some testing in to start early access.
So I think the part that they're missing is like the first round, but because yes, they kind of designed their system to like face them multiple times, there is no like first round.
Yeah.
But in PoE 1, there's like that freebie first round, right?
Yep.
Where like the first time you do Eater, you only complete one T16 map, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And if you fail, it drops on the very next T16 map.
Right, right. So I kind of want to go back to Ruthless and PoE1 on this one. So
it.
Ruthless has the same system. And yeah, once you kill it, it's all good. You kind of get your first kill reward. But in Ruthless, the second kill is 50 maps. Okay, 50. And to do 50 maps that are T14 or higher in Ruthless is actually ridiculous, because map sustain is so difficult to do. So to me, it kind of seems like they modeled the system after Ruthless and left out like the easy first clear reward part. So I think that's what we got right now.
Interesting. So that was a take in your initial Ruthless video that was quite interesting to me, comparing this to Ruthless. I feel like Ruthless in Path of Exile 1 was taking an already made game and removing a bunch of elements, switching up a few things, and then giving it to some players who are really looking for something different. Whereas Path of Exile 2, I think, feels better for a lot of players like myself who didn't necessarily enjoy Ruthless in PoE 1 because it was built from the ground up with Ruthless in mind. I think there's a really good bones for a game that many people will enjoy there in PoE 1 Ruthless, and they've almost replicated that in Path of Exile 2 in one way or another, where they designed a lot of the systems, a lot of the combat with the learnings and initial implementation of Ruthless in mind. Would you agree with that? That they kind of, it's not just like, you know, an updated skin of Ruthless. It is a game made with that mindset from square one, essentially.
I mean, it's easy to think so, but honestly, I don't know. I don't know. I think a big part of this is there are a lot more people that work on PoE 2 than those that worked on PoE 1. Okay. I think the unity of vision is a lot more scattered in PoE 2 across its different mechanics, whereas PoE 1 was, you know, let's make a game in my garage, and then you get a few more people, and then a few more people, and then, you know, but it's like, conceptually, a lot of the mechanics in the game and the game as a whole has kind of, a direction. I think PoE 2 has a lot of like outliers, so a lot of things kind of seem a little bit out of place. Because I think a lot more people kind of have their input on the game.
Could you give an example of an outlier?
There's just like Breach. Like, I'm pretty sure the person who ran a few test runs for Breach and kind of made it work is not the same person that methodically designed the mob density in normal maps.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you open a Breach, you can just get, like, 10 times the rares of a normal map. So, I don't know. It's also kind of a feeling, too.
Yeah.
Where, I don't say it, like, I feel like someone had more of a focus on designing Warrior than someone who had more of a focus on designing Infernalist.
Okay.
Like the hammer skills, they're just like they're just so not, they're just not one to one at all with what's happening in Witchland.
Right.
Basically, just like hold down the button while the mob beats you down.
Mm-hmm. Even so, compared to the monk and everything, I can readily see that, man.
Yeah. I'm sure if I thought about it more, I'd come up with more examples. But I definitely get that feeling as I've played.
I think Breach is a great example. Breaches in PoE 2 are thicker than the breaches in PoE 1. It's wild how many monsters spawn. It's the only time my FPS drops. It's
even in
T10 maps. Yeah. It goes crazy. At least the ones that I've encountered before. Maybe I'm not killing stuff fast enough or something, but in a map like Savannah, which is pretty open compared to a lot of other PoE 2 maps, I get so many monsters on my screen. It's wild. So,
I quite enjoyed the Savannah map, but that boss has like I think it's kind of bugged with how it works with like attack speed. Like, if you give him, like, the attack and cast speed, he's, like, 3 times faster than he should. It was one of my first, like, deaths in the high-level stuff.
He's the Hyena Lord, right? Wrathbreaker?
Yeah.
He's dangerous. Very dangerous. Very memorable fight in the campaign itself. And that is something we skipped over a little bit. In your first review, you mentioned how Act 2 in the campaign was the hardest the game was back then. That changed it all, or are you still pretty staunch on that fact because you weren't getting those gem upgrades during the campaign?
I think the gem upgrades were like a huge part of it.
Okay.
I went from, I don't remember exactly now, I mentioned it in the video, but basically I didn't know any better. Like, I was mostly focusing on doing damage with my Raging Spirits.
Right.
And when I upgraded the gem from like 6 to 10 or something like that, their damage just like tripled. Like they did three times more damage. So like the entire act, I hadn't upgraded that gem. And again, like a couple days after I made that video, they actually upped gem drops from like normal mobs in the map. But the very first few days, the playthroughs, almost the only sources of gem drops were the bosses that you would kill throughout the campaign. So if you kill the boss and it drops like a normal skill gem and not like a buff skill gem, then just you're out of luck. And that was certainly challenging.
Oh yeah, and if you experimented instead of upgrading your core skills, you'd find yourself totally screwed if you picked the wrong skill, figured out, oh, I don't really like that, like from the quest reward or anything. Mm-hmm. That happened to me on my warrior, and I felt the exact same thing. Ugh, it was rough. Do you think the scaling of the campaign, like the difficulty curve of the campaign, feels pretty good right now, going from Act 1 to 3? Or do you think that maybe the barrier for entry in Act 1 might be a little challenging for new players to the game or the genre?
A big part of it kind of skewed my experience with my own playthrough, which again, I don't think is something that someone who plays the game now would experience. I think it's pretty good overall, but the difficulty in the different classes is kind of a stark reminder that it's early access closed beta situation. I've watched a lot of people playing hardcore. Like the Quinn state of things, he'll make another melee character, and it is like just the worst thing ever, and you're just dodging like 90% of the time, and then you do like the hammer or the perfect strike, and then the boss just dies in like a hit or two, which is just like, I don't know, it seems so strange to me. It seems like they're like almost there with like visceral combat, but I don't exactly know what changes they have to make to actually get there.
I felt it pretty strongly on my monk. I've only done a full playthrough on my monk to like endgame and everything. It feels really good on that class. The warrior, though, it's so dependent on getting like a nice weapon. That changes everything. I got a good roll in the shop in Act 1, and I just rolled through that area, and it felt really, really good. But if you are stuck with a basic unupgradable hammer or something, you will slog your way through Act 1 and it will feel terrible. It's happened to my friend. It happened to my dad. He literally got hard locked out of, I think, the Lachlan fight because he couldn't find a better hammer. And it was just brick wall. He couldn't get past it. Rough for him. So,
I mean, yeah, that doesn't sound good. They should probably not have that in the game, right?
Yeah, I think it's the warrior that really needs some work. I feel like building a little bit more mobility into his kit would help a lot with the visceral action combat you're going for in PoE2, especially all the other classes can basically move while attacking. You have the monk, which is constantly shifting in and out of combat. You have the ranger, the sorceress, who can move while firing. Same with the merc. The witch obviously has stuff going while she's walking around. The warrior, though, the only one where you have to stand your feet in the ground and tank a hit. As we know, tanking hits, not a thing. We've all watched the armor videos. We watch them as soon as they pop into our YouTube feed. Crip, will the faces get progressively wilder as the armor problem evolves? Because I noticed the second thumbnail was like, your face was going crazy.
I mean, that's our editor who does thumbnails and stuff. I don't know. I don't pose for those. I think he just clips it and has a collection by now. Like we just have.
Oh man. Okay. Well, I'll have to watch out for video.
Too many videos to really notice that. Like, like my wife Anya was editing the videos up until a few years ago.
Yeah.
And she encountered the problem that apparently on YouTube you can't have a playlist with more than 5,000 videos on it.
Really?
Yes. That's.
My God.
Yeah, but what if you need more than that, right?
You might. You just might. Which series was that for? Was it for Hearthstone?
Yeah, the Hearthstone.
Yeah, players. Yeah. Very good. 5K videos. That's impressive. That's like, I think Josh Strife Hayes found the limit for video length. I think he tried to upload a 75-hour playthrough of Morrowind, and okay. YouTube just wouldn't let it. But a little bit lower than 75 hours, and it was in. It was good. So there are some limits there. Now, I've got one more PoE2 topic, and then maybe a few ARPG things to talk about as we round up this hour. Dodge roll, Crip. You sounded very anti-dodge roll in that Ruthless review.
Yep.
PoE2 was designed fully with that in mind. Now that you've tried out some different defenses, do you think that other defenses just need to be brought up to their level? And then you can also play with the dodge roll in tandem with that level of defense? Or are you still against boss fights being designed around needing to dodge and needing to move out of the way?
I kind of go in a different direction on this one.
Oh, okay.
I don't really like the dodge roll. I just don't like it that much.
Okay.
I think, like, I don't know. If I'm fighting a big beast or whatever, am I really rolling on the ground to avoid a hit that would otherwise just bonk me? I don't know. It's kind of weird. Like it doesn't feel for me. I hated it in the Souls games. I don't know why it had to be done. I also think it's not very consistent. I also think that when you're on the verge of death in this game, you basically just spam dodge roll, which is again like, okay, I don't know. It's just weird. I think if anything. And like yesterday when I got one-shotted, like 10,000 damage in one hit, I was literally, like, I just saw all my minions instantly die to the boss. So I'm like, well, I guess the boss does too much damage, for whatever reason. It only had like one damage mod on the map. So I was literally, with all my minions dead, I was literally just nonstop dodge rolling away from the boss. And, it still like auto attacked me for 10,000 damage and I died one hit. So. Right. I don't know, I think they got a long way to go if they actually want the dodge roll to be a meaningful part of the game. I think right now it feels pretty gimmicky and I don't like it. I also think that it's not exactly a defensive, I think you call it a defensive layer. I certainly wouldn't call it that. Usually you're going to fare better than dodge roll, just not being in melee and having like more movement speed is going to be more defensive than the dodge roll is a lot of the time. The dodge roll is just kind of something you have to kind of fall back on, and it works on a few mechanics, but a lot of the time you don't really know which mechanics those are going to be until you fail a few times.
Right. It requires that. That's how you learn in the campaign, but the end game is a heck of a lot more punishing, as we've found out, especially with Pinnacles, where you only get the one shot or you are done. Now, I also hate Souls games. Not a big fan at all. They feel so janky to me. The camera angles, the dodges, I know people love them. Hate them so much. I'm so bad at them. I've killed two bosses across every Souls game. Took me hours to do so. I am a fan of the dodge roll in PoE2, but I'm hearing the sentiment from a lot of people that it just doesn't feel good or it's not useful. For those people, I've been thinking, I wonder if there was some support for the dodge roll, either through maybe gems or the further support in the tree. Maybe you could edit it a little bit to make it more similar to the movement abilities in PoE1. Or are you also not necessarily a fan of that? Because I know you really liked Ruthless, and in that you only have dash, right? I might be wrong. I haven't played Ruthless.
Yeah, so you have this dash skill.
Yeah.
And I think it's a pretty decent like compromise. It's basically a non-spammable dodge roll is what it is.
Right.
And I actually like that better than the dodge roll. I also like the clarity. The dash is A to B, and it's instant,
right.
And you need a clear path. It's not a teleport. Yeah. It just like feels fair.
Yeah.
Like I feel like if the devs like asked even the players that have played the most Path of Exile 2, which is a hell of a lot of game time by now, exactly which portion of the dodge roll has immunity frames, I think they're pretty much all going to get it wrong. Like I don't even know what it is. It's like somewhere in the first part in the middle or something.
Mm.
A lot of time I'm dodge rolling, I just get hit anyway. So I don't know. I really don't think there's much good about the dodge roll. But yeah, in a game state with one shots and low movement speed, it feels necessary. But just because necessary doesn't make me happy to use it.
Do you think that's a point of feedback that GGG is seriously going to assess, whether it's a heavy edit to the dodge roll to make it something more instant and similar to what we've seen in PoE 1, or do you think this is something they'll stand their ground on?
I think they probably have to revise the dodge mechanic, but there's obviously many ways to tackle that. Like they can tackle it on trying to generally have more fairness on the mob ability, and maybe coupling that with more clarity on which part actually gives you immunity frames.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it just kind of feels ambiguous. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm just spamming it for no reason a lot of the time. honestly, if we really want to talk about like these type of like generic defense mechanics, I know some people will definitely not agree with me, but I actually really like active block. I think active block is awesome.
Ooh.
So,
that's spicy. That's something I haven't actually tried out. Have you been using it a lot on your witch? I know you have a shield in your offhand. So.
Oh, yeah. Like yesterday, I was in a T15 super rippy ritual, which is like you're literally getting zerged by mobs nonstop, and there's like a tornado that's just like always within like half a centimeter of your character. So during that, with all my minions dead from the tornado because it was a corrupted blood tornado, I managed to fully recover my energy shield. So just like dodge a little bit to not be fully surrounded and just like active block for like 3 seconds and then bam, full heal. So you can do some really cool stuff with it. And it like a really big part about why I like active block is it kind of just like works. It kind of does what it says that it does. Like with the dodge roll, I think one of my biggest problems with it is the clarity in how it's actually working to mitigate damage just isn't there.
As in it mitigates. So dodge roll, I don't even think you get iframes. I think you get like 100% dodge chance or evasion for projectiles. That includes spells and physical and then hits, but slams still hit you, right? You don't actually become invulnerable, but still it's variable at which point you're actually evading everything. I think it's right at the beginning. I think you're right. I believe that's where it is.
I think it's close to the beginning.
Yeah. We still don't know. 300 hours in.
Yeah. I don't know. When you're dodge rolling, you're in a pretty dire situation. I'm mainly dodge rolling to not be fully surrounded by the monsters. That's pretty much what I'm dodge rolling.
That is probably the most common situation that I use it in, especially after the change that changed our sizes to zero. Because most of the time I can escape now. Shockingly.
Yeah.
Were you pro on that change? Or are you a masochist like I am? I was anti that change.
You did not like the dodge roll getting you out of being surrounded?
I know this is my worst take ever and people hate me for it. I'd like the beetles surrounding me, Crip, in Keth. And mobbing me down and forcing me to play differently. I know it's a bad take.
You may want to bury that opinion.
All right. I can just cut it in post before I upload this to YouTube. It's totally fine. I've said it so many times. People know. Okay. Crit. So you've been playing ARPGs for quite a long time now. Obviously since the Diablo days. What is one of the things that excites you most about them? If you could boil it down to just one distinct feel that you get when playing games like this.
The best part about RPG is kind of coming up with the character. And then I like how they do it with like a new league, especially when they actually change something relevant about how these characters would work. So you're playing something you hadn't played before. And then there are some of the typical challenges that a character faces. So you get to see how your new build idea works against those. And then they usually have some new challenges to where, you know, there's kind of like that surprise element where it's never like a fully safe pick. Like you might be making a character and under the previous version of the game, it would have basically no challenges whatsoever, but there's always that like X factor from the new content that changes it up. So that like delivery of that package has been very good. I would say even exceptional in Path of Exile 1. So it's kind of, the build, creating, and just kind of benchmarking it against the old and new content together.
Right. Yeah. It is a good feel. I play Path of Exile 1, like one build, a league, and I never repeated the same skill. I always wanted to do something different, and it just always kept the game fresh for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's always exciting. In your past 20 so years playing ARPGs, is there any one build that you particularly were proud of or are still a fan of and think fondly back to? Whether it's PoE, Diablo, Last Epoch?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to say which build I'm most proud of.
Or just one. It doesn't have to be the most proud.
Early on, I was pretty happy with like the burning discharge character in PoE1, just because there was not only so many things that were different about the build, but the challenges were like really extreme. Where in PoE1 at that time, reflect damage was an affix a rare mob could have.
Yeah.
That could be at the very edge of your screen and you could hit it without even seeing it. So if you're playing hardcore, you actually have to design a character around reflect damage, which sounds bad, but sure. But if you take on that challenge and try to make the highest damage character possible, it has like a new boundary to it. And that character kind of broke that boundary because it was like a damage over time character, because it was the ignite that was doing the damage primarily. But right. The hit was so big. So I had like 10,000 energy shield on this character, and it was the old Vol Pact. Yeah, so
free nerf Vol Pact.
Yeah, but you could apply it to energy shield also.
Okay.
So the character literally did like 9,000 reflect damage to itself, but the leech was full heal on every single hit. And it triggered in between hits on the different monsters. So the only weakness was actually critting. So this character actually pathed like a quarter of its skill points to get Resolute Technique, so it couldn't crit. Because if it could crit, you would kill yourself. Or you would have to just reduce your damage by 50% to not kill yourself on a crit. So cool. There's just like so many of these backwards things kind of coming together on that build.
Yeah.
But moreover than that, it was in a state in the game where like half the people were playing Spork Totem. It was like
I
so
knew it was
dead
back
in terms
that
of
era.
Build diversity.
That's very cool. I love that. I hope there's a lot of those scenarios in PoE 2 once everything's in the game and in a relatively balanced state. I think it's going to take a while to get there, as you said in your review. Once everything's in the game, I hope there's a lot of those weird, funky interactions that allow things like that to exist in the game. It'll be interesting. Okay, Crip, wanted to close this chat down with one piece of advice you could give to GGG that could just be inspiring. Chris Wilson, in that awesome GDC talk a while back, I think in 2019, said that you were the inspiration for the famous 3-month league system. Just be consistent, show up, and people are going to flock to your game. It was so simple, but so powerful, and really propelled Grinding Gear Games to near the top, if not the top, of the ARPG genre for many years. Is there anything that you can think of in regards to PoE2, something that you think is just paramount to improving the state of early access as it stands right now in December 2024?
I mean, if it was so significant, I probably would just made a video about it. So I'm not making
drop the bomb
like,
here, man.
I don't have anything right away. But yeah, I feel like right now a lot of mechanics in the games are kind of like at odds with each other. So yeah. I think they just kind of have to sort a few things out. Like when I mentioned about the difference in economy for solo self-found and trade league, it's just so crazy. But the game seems to be balanced for Trade League in terms of difficulty, but it seems to be carefully choreographed for drop progression for solo self-found.
Right.
So it's just like, whatever you do, you don't get the great experience. Like, if you play solo self-found, you get kind of wrecked on a lot of aspects. But then if you play Trade League, you really skip out on a massive amount of progression. You skip out on a massive part of the game. Like, that is the game. The game is incrementally challenging your character for incremental power. Not, hey, I found an exalt when I killed the first, like, devourer boss in Act 1. Let me just get the best armor in the game. Like, right. You know, that's insane. You, like, I don't know. So, yeah, I feel like they kind of have to focus on where they want to take that, because a lot of mechanics are kind of divided.
A more unified vision, like you mentioned, you know.
Yeah.
Wait, that makes sense. That does. After seeing all the systems and how they interact with each other, I think that's a great piece of feedback to essentially go through another balance pass on all the big systems in the game and just make sure that they all kind of not feel the same, but they all are working toward that same goal, that same feel for Path of Exile 2.
And I kind of want to maybe give a little bit of history here, because I wanted to kind of drop it in there, but, you know, we moved on to the next topic.
Oh, go for it.
I actually think Path of Exile 1 originally was designed for hardcore, which is why it was, like, so much fun to play it on hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as more and more people started playing softcore and, like, the item progression became, like, clear speed meta, they constantly had to keep adding systems that just kill players that are, like, moving 3 screens per second, killing everything. So that's when things took a turn with, like, on death effects, invisible crap, one shots, all that stuff, I think, as a result of that. And again, in PoE 2, we have, like, a mix of all these mechanics instead of kind of all them fitting together in some way, where we have very carefully limited regeneration on, like, a health character, mm-hmm. and then not that on an energy shield character, for example.
Right. Do the first 3 acts of Path of Exile 2 feel a lot like that OG Path of Exile 1 experience?
They definitely went through a lot more revisions in the first few acts, yeah. I think the first act is quite good overall, as, like, mm-hmm. just someone who is playing a game. They're like, is this game good? I want to play the game. I think they're going to have a good time in Act 1. Yes.
Yeah. I agree with you there, and I think that's why we've seen really high player numbers even 3 weeks after the launch, because a lot of people, I'm guessing, are working their way through those first 3 acts and having a great time. And then once you hit Cruel, the game does fundamentally change. It feels a lot like Path of Exile 1 to me. And then Endgame 2 feels a lot more like Path of Exile 1. Like you said, I'm on a monk though, so it might be a little bit different, but I'm clearing screens, I'm moving fast through the game, and it's not that methodical approach I felt like I was taking in those first 3 acts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Crip. Well, thank you so much for sitting down. I apologize for the technical issues and not being able to get your face on screen. I did get kind of your face on screen, but it's not your talking face. So.
That's fine. Thank you. I hope it's been insightful in some regards, and thank you for taking the time.